Psalm 119, 126 was one of the verses that we read, and it really struck me. I didn't say anything about it. I wanted everyone else to have a chance, but I thought as I was driving home, maybe this is something I should start with on Saturday evening. This verse was the prayer of the psalmist's heart toward the Lord. It seems like he was telling God what to do. He told God that it was time for him to act. It is time, Lord, for you to work. Psalm 119, 126. It is time for thee, Lord, to work, for they have made void thy law. Or in the NIV, it is time for you to act, O Lord, your law is being broken. He looked around him and he saw that people were not following God's commandments, and that stirred his heart. We can think of other people in the Bible like that. Some of the prophets that preached and prayed, they were stirred when they looked around them and saw that people didn't care about what God had said. They weren't following what God had required. And they were God's people that should have been grateful and should have lived unto his praise and unto his glory. But somehow their hearts had been drawn aside. Think of Elijah. It says that he stood, what did he say in 1 Kings 17? I think you know what he said. He said, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. Now in the Old Testament, we don't read what backed up this pronouncement. I stand before God, as God is alive, there shall be neither dew nor rain until I say so. But in the New Testament, in James, we read not only that he prayed earnestly that it might rain when the time was up and it was time for rain to come again, but we read that he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. Now, we can understand or at least think about what was in his heart. He knew God's word. God had said, you turn from my ways, you worship idols, you disobey my voice, I will shut up the heavens. I will carry you away captive into far-off lands. I will punish the people that disobey my word. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. The first commandment in Exodus 20. I can imagine Elijah going before the Lord and saying, oh God, this is what you said. And they're going along their merry way, doing as they please, worshiping other gods before you. How can you let this go on? How can this continue? Oh God, we need you to act strongly among us, to turn our hearts back to you. Do something, whatever it is, Lord, work so that this people doesn't continue to go astray from you and incur greater wrath. Oh God, do something for this people. End the reign of this wicked King Ahab and his even more wicked wife Jezebel. Do something. Act, Lord. And then God showed him that he should make this pronouncement, as God, the Lord of Israel, lives before whom I stand. No rain, no dew, but according to my word. That had to be backed up. Who could stop that from happening? Who could stop the rain from falling? That had to be backed up with earnest prayer. And James tells us in the New Testament, the 5th chapter, that it was. He prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not. And I'm sure that it had to do with the desire for God's glory, for God's people to turn back to Him, for God's name to be praised and not to be dishonored any longer. And here you have the same sentiment. It is time, Lord, for you to work. Your laws being broken. It was many years ago, even thousands of years ago, that Elijah stood before God and said those bold, courageous words that put his life in jeopardy. And it was many years ago that the psalmist said, "It is time for you to work. Your law is being broken." But how up to date? How up to date is this thought? Is this word? It fits our time perfectly. We just had Psalm 12 in our devotional that same morning. And there we read about the word of the Lord in the 6th verse. "The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified 7 times. And there David is saying that all around me is deceit and falseness, but God's word is pure. No alloy, absolutely certain and faithful is God's word. And then he says, "The wicked walk on every side when the vilest men are exalted." Last verse of Psalm 12. In the NIV, "The wicked freely strut about when what is vile is honored among men." In the ESV, it talks about the wicked prowling. But there's a pride and arrogance. We can say what we want. We will do what we please. And the vilest men are exalted. And doesn't that remind us of things that go on around us? All the time. Just this summer we've seen such terrible vileness exalted, and we're supposed to feel somehow not good. I can't even think of the word if we don't go along with it. From the things that you hear said, people just acting vilely. "What is vile is honored among men." Well, this fits our time. It is time, Lord, for you to work. You have promised to stretch forth your hand. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness, all unrighteousness, men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. God's wrath is coming against sin. He will judge sin. It is time for you, O Lord, to work. Your laws are being broken. They have made void your law. It's as though it were not there. Just disregard it and do as we please. Then I thought of other words in the Bible. Just take 2 more that tell us what time it is. I said that you were very prompt, and I know that God is never late. He knows what time it is. But he does look for his own people to call upon his name. He's put that within us, an invitation and a command to call upon him and to pray and live for his honor and for his glory. And so it's right, Lord. It is time for you to work. Make changes, O God. Do something. Do something. But here we go. Another one. Hosea 10. I'd like to apply this to all of us. Not just to our wicked world, but to all of us here. We're here for just a few days. And I believe that God would say to us what he said through Hosea here in the 10th chapter, which is this, another very familiar word to many of you, I'm sure. It is time to seek the Lord. It is time to seek the Lord. Hosea 10:12. Now, Hosea was also speaking to people who had gone far away from God. He was a prophet. He had God's words given to him to proclaim. God had put his word in his mouth. And he said, it is time to seek the Lord. Hosea 10:12. And if you read the chapter, he speaks about the unfruitfulness of Israel. The people of God were living for themselves. They allowed themselves to become distracted from the main thing. Seeking the Lord, honoring Him, living for Him, loving Him. And they were distracted, and they also worshipped idols, and they sinned grievously against God. And God said, it is in my desire that I should chastise them. 10th verse. Let me read that from the NIV. When I please, I will punish them. Nations will be gathered against them to put them in bonds for their double sin. But he calls upon them to repent. He calls upon them to sow for themselves righteousness. No longer to trust in themselves, but to trust in him. No longer to be filled with pride, but to humble themselves before God and turn from their sins and seek his face. Sow for yourselves righteousness. Reap the fruit of unfailing love. Break up your unplowed ground. It is time to seek the Lord until he comes and showers righteousness on you. God wants to come to his people. He wants the hardness of their hearts to be broken up. The other day we had here that God's word is like a hammer that breaks the rock. And it's like a fire that melts it down. The hard rock hearts of ours can be broken by the hammer of God's word and softened by the fire of God's word. Let your word, O Lord, be fire in my soul, burning out every sin. Remember how we used to sing that? Let your word, O Lord, be fire in my soul, burning out every sin. Cleanse my heart and mind from every evil thought. Make me pure within. Burning out every sin. Make me pure within. Let your word, O Lord, be fire in my soul. Make me pure within. And God wants us to break up this ground that has been hardened by lack of use. Break it up. It's time to seek the Lord. Get into his word. Call upon his name. Turn from your sins. He wants to come and rain righteousness upon you. Sow for yourselves righteousness. Reap mercy. Reap the fruit of unfailing love. And I just want to say this to you tonight. Seek the Lord. It's time to seek the Lord. We have a few days here together. Listen. Get into God's word. Listen to what they say. These ones who have been chosen to speak to us, they've gone to the Lord to get their word from him. And I believe that they have something to share with us that we ought to receive, and that God will work to change our hearts by his mighty power. If we've been distracted or led astray from the main thing, the most important thing in our lives, and that is to live for the Lord and love the Lord supremely and to live unto his praise. If we've been in any way distracted, it is time to seek the Lord for all of us. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. It is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. See this? You have plowed wickedness. You have reaped iniquity. You have eaten the fruit of lies. You did trust in your own way. In the multitude of your mighty men, You failed to trust in the Lord. You failed to follow Him. You became fruitless. And that's one thing that God looks for. It's fruit in your life. The fruit of holiness and Christ-likeness. And if that's missing, He is utterly displeased with us. What could I have done more for you, He said to His vineyard. A picture of failure in the Old Testament. His people are likened to a vineyard. I did everything I could for you, and what did I find? I don't find the fruit that I'm looking for. It is time to seek the Lord. It is time to seek the Lord. Till He come and rain righteousness upon us. Till He fill us with the Holy Ghost. Till He make our lives fruitful. That God may be glorified. One more. Yes, we have time for one more. Turn with me to Romans 13. Now, it's interesting that this particular time, we're told what time it is here also, is in the context of loving the Lord and loving one another. This is of great importance to God. Before I even read from Romans 13, look at this prayer that Paul prayed for the Thessalonian Christians. I'll look it up. He said this, "And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love, one toward another, and toward all men, even as we do toward you, to the end that He may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all His saints. Follow after holiness, without which no one will see the Lord." It has something to do with loving one another. That's what it says here. "May He strengthen your heart so that you will be blameless. May the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else. Just as ours does for you, may He strengthen your heart so that you will be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father when our Lord Jesus comes with all His holy ones." And now here, he says, "Owe no man anything but to love one another. He who loves another has fulfilled the law." The commandments: do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not covet, and whatever other commandment there may be are summed up in this one rule: love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to its neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. And then he goes right on, "and do this, understanding the time." In another of my translations, it says, because of this, it flows right together. And here it says in the King James, "and that knowing the time," you'll see why I'm reading from this version, "that now it is high time, now it is high time to awake out of sleep. Jesus is coming again. Now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Clothe yourselves with Him. Don't make any provision for the flesh to fulfill or gratify its sinful desires." Oh, we do make provision for the flesh. Unless we hear God calling us away from living for ourselves, may He bring us to a place of repentance where we have allowed things in our hearts that come between us and others. Oh God, forgive us, change us, help us to love as You have called us to love, and then help us to awake out of sleep. Oh, Lord, it's high time to awake from our slumber. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. It's time to put off the works of darkness. Put on the armor of light. Let us not walk in, it says in the NIV, orgies and drunkenness, or in sexual immorality and debauchery, or the ESV some of you have, in sensuality, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody point out one thing. You can find this in other places in the Bible too, where you have lists of sins, the works of the flesh, the things that displease God. There are some things that don't seem all that wicked to us. You look at the first ones. Sexual immorality and debauchery, orgies and drunkenness. Those are like top sins, right? When you hear those things, you think, that's certainly, wouldn't want anybody to know that I ever did any one of those, right? But what's a little arguing and envying, right? An amiable weakness. No. No. No, 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 no. It's right here in the same list. Same thing in 1 Corinthians 10. I only have another couple minutes. These things happen for your examples upon whom the ends of the world are come. Here, what did the people do? Idolatry, immorality, testing God. The four things. Idolatry, immorality, testing God. What's the fourth one? My Bible scholars, 1 Corinthians 10. They grumbled and they murmured. They complained. Is that, you say, where does that fit? Does that fit with immorality, idolatry, testing God, seeing how far I can go before God lets punishment fall upon me? Does that fit? It does. It does. If you think you can get away with that, it says they were destroyed by the destroying angel for grumbling and murmuring. It's time. It's time to love. Here's dissension and jealousy. Put it away. Clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we have things to pray about, things to seek God about, and it's time. It's time. We have just a little time here, right? A little time. Tonight, tomorrow, Monday, we're going home already, Tuesday. And of course, the call from God is to seek His face all the time. But this is a special time. Right here, right now, together here, before we go off to school this fall, this is a special opportunity for us. It is time, Lord, for you to work. They have made void your law. We see it all around us, oh Lord, and we won't escape. Although, what I mean to say, when God's judgments are in the earth, His people are included in those things that happen. Of course, the judgment for our sins fell on Jesus, and that's such a wonderful thing that we can know that. But the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against ungodliness. It is time, Lord, for you to work. But then, for us here, right now, it is time to seek the Lord. If we've been distracted or in any way drawn aside from the things that are most important, especially at this time, before we go off to school, before the new year starts, let's seek the Lord. Let Him make our hearts humble and tender and responsive to Him, and He will come and rain righteousness upon us and fill us with His Spirit and help us to learn to please Him and trust Him with all of our hearts. And then the last one, high time to awake out of sleep, to put aside, cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. So this is just supposed to be an introductory encouragement to you to realize what time it is. Time to seek the Lord. Time to awake out of sleep if we've been slumbering, Lord, let us be alive unto you. Let us wake up and let us live as children of the day, living for you, loving as you loved, saying, no, that doesn't belong, that envy that's in my heart, and that strife. Oh God, give me victory in Jesus. Help me, Lord. Help me. I can seek your face, and you will change me and help me. And give me your love, that it might possess our hearts. Blessed Holy Spirit, take control of me. May I yield my body, soul, and mind to thee. Understanding of thy will to me impart. May the love of Jesus reign within my heart. I want to be ready for your coming, Lord. And the night is far spent. Help me, Lord. I don't have time to waste. I have to put those things off and clothe myself with Christ. And here's an opportunity, right here in these days, a golden opportunity, a blessed opportunity. Help me to take advantage of this time. I am resolved no longer to linger. I don't want to linger, Lord, for it's time to seek you. It's time to wake up. I know, Lord, that you are wanting to work here in this place, in these days, in a wonderful, deep, and mighty, and lasting way. And so we look to you together, and we commit these days to you. Make us serious about these things, Lord. Help us truly to seek your face, and help us to be open to you. Touch our hearts even tonight on this first evening. Let our hearts be tender to you, Lord, humble, receptive, responsive, so that right from the start you can work graciously in us and among us. And we do thank you. Hallelujah. Amen.